GoDaddy.com. Use the code PODNAME139 for $7.49.com domain names. GoDaddy.com. Tango Tango Papa 1114, July 17, 2009.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Lamar, Missouri. had to get up early this morning. I had my alarm set for 5:30 a.m. this morning. So I got up and kind of slowly got all my stuff gathered up and loaded into the truck. And so I had to be over at Stillwell, Oklahoma by 9 o'clock, so long story made short, I made it over there at about 8:45 a.m., they had me back right into the dock, but the problem was it's a frozen load, and so I wanted to turn the reefer unit on the trailer, the refrigeration unit, and it was dead, nothing. And so, I told the shipper, and they said, well, we can't load it unless it's running. And so I contacted my dispatcher and our breakdown department, which are two separate numbers to call. And at first, they sent me over to this little tire repair shop there in Stillwell, Oklahoma, that also does minor reefer unit repair work. And the guy checked it. He, with his battery tester, he checked the battery, and it wasn't the battery. And, so in the meantime, before I did anything, I tried to jump start it, and nothing. But he said that the battery was good. His battery tester said the battery was in great shape. So it wasn't the battery. So what ended up happening, I contacted the breakdown department again. And I had to drive all the way from Stillwell over to Springdale, because that was the closest carrier place. It's a carrier reefer unit. And turned out there was a loose wire of some sort on the on-off switch. They've got a single toggle switch that turns it on and off. And apparently there was a loose wire, and so that the guy found that pretty quick. And so got that fixed, and then drove. I had to go ahead and get fuel there. There's a Pilot truck stop at Springdale, and I was running low on fuel, so I had to get fuel there too before I drove back over to Stillwell. So I got back over there, and then they had me back into the dock, and then it was a while before they started loading the load again. I guess it was loaded, around 5:30 p.m. it got loaded. But then the problem with that was that, since I started my day at 7:30 this morning, 14 hours was up at 9:30. And so because of all of this extra delay caused by, having to go all the way over to Springdale to get the reefer unit repaired, get it running so they could load the load, I didn't make it to the destination. I was supposed to be there at 10 p.m. and I've basically ran out of time. So I notified, before I left Stillwell, I notified the dispatch, because I'd been in contact with them throughout the day, kind of keeping them updated on what was happening. And I told them, hey, I'm going to run out of time before I even get to to the Kansas City area. It's going to Edwardsville, Kansas, which is on the Kansas side of the, you know, basically the Kansas City, you know, area. And so, because it kind of straddles both Missouri and Kansas, and so it's on the Kansas side. And so, you know, so they'll just have to, you know, deal with that. You run out of time, 14 hours, you run out of 14 hours, and that's just that. So I've made it here to Lamar, Missouri. There's a pretty good-sized truck stop here that's got a pretty good-sized parking lot. So I went ahead and stopped here at about, it was 9 o'clock when I got here. And so I'll get out of here, you know, after my 10-hour break. I will get out of here and get headed on up towards the destination. And then, so in the meantime, hopefully in the morning, they'll call, I guess, around 8 o'clock. They'll call the receiver and see if they can set up a new appointment time. And so we'll just have to wait and see what happens with that. So that's basically how my day went. I think, you know, that the other day when I ran out of fuel in the motorcycle, when I ran out of gas, and I kind of really exerted myself sort of walking, you know, straddling the motorcycle, sort of walking it in the heat, walking it forward, you know, so I could get down the exit. I think I really strained some various body parts, you know, because at first I had this, you know, it was kind of a pain in my groin, you know, like I'd, you know, because you can strain groin muscles, and so I had this pain in my groin for a couple of days, and then, you know, that yesterday evening it just abruptly went away, and so that was fine. But then today, when I got up this morning, you know, I noticed that my foot was, my right foot, you know, it just had a, I don't know, it's just, it's a pain. I don't know quite how to describe it, but it you know, if I get my foot in the right position, especially with my boot off, you know, no problem, no pain. The only time I feel pain is maybe if I step down on it or certain pressure on my foot, you know, like right now I've got my boot on, and it's, you know, there's a little bit of pressure that the boot is applying to my foot, and it's kind of causing a little bit of pain, but not much. I mean, it's just something that I can notice, but you know, so I must have, you know, your foot's got lots and lots of bones in it, and so therefore it has lots of connective, you know, the joints and different ligaments and what have you, to kind of hold all those bones together. And I must have probably strained one of those ligaments, because I've had that happen in my hands before, you know, where you just have a kind of a pain that seems to come out of nowhere. And so today I was kind of, you know, every time I'd walk somewhere, you know, I was kind of limping on that foot, you know, kind of hobbling along, you know. And I don't know, you see, you know, all of my life I've seen, you know, older people, and you think, well, how in the world did they get in that shape, you know, where they're just kind of not moving all that well? How did that happen? You know, did they just allow that to happen? Well, believe me, it happens. You know, you get just a little bit of, you know, you can get a little bit of stiffness. It's maybe borderline pain or not real pain. But just, you know, just a stiffness can kind of cause you to end up hobbling along. And so I think that, you know, me push, you know, kind of really, as I say, really exerting myself, pushing that motorcycle forward, walking it forward, straddling it, in the heat, and really overexerting myself, because I'm not used to, quite frankly, I'm not used to doing that. I think it's catching up, And so, and in the meantime, I didn't, you know, I didn't get enough sleep last night. When I went to bed last night, I went right to sleep, but of course I had to set my, you know, so I only really got about 3 hours sleep because I had to set my alarm clock for 5:30. Of course, I had my sleeping hours all completely backwards, so I'm hoping that tonight I should be able to just go to bed and just, you know, hopefully be able to catch up on the sleep a little bit. And then perhaps tomorrow, once, depending on how they reschedule the delivery appointment, maybe able to even sleep some more and just, that's, but at some point I should be able to really catch up on my sleep and, you know, sleep often, you know, kind of helps because a good chunk of the day, now I'm feeling okay now, but a good chunk of the day, I just didn't, you know, I felt kind of tired. And then, in fact, even, you know, when I got back to Stillwell and they had me back into the dock, I went ahead and laid down hoping that I could sleep. Now, I don't think I ever did really go to sleep. I might have been on the verge of it at one time, but don't think I ever really did go to sleep. I laid there for a couple of hours, and even though I really felt tired, I just couldn't go to, you know, I just wasn't going to sleep. Because I guess it was the wrong time or something of the day, but in any case, now at this point I'm feeling better, although, you know, I just don't feel right. just kind of feel a little stiff, and so, like I say, you know, I'll be able to catch up on it here, hopefully in the, you know, tonight, and then again maybe tomorrow, and hopefully maybe tomorrow night, you know, depending on what load they what load they might come up with. I've got a couple of voice comments. There's one here that Ron Stroop sent me yesterday morning, and of course, you know, he and I recorded a Ho Agenda episode last night, so I didn't play it because I had him live on Skype, but so, and it's only this one, so I guess it's only 1 minute and 12 seconds. And then after that, got one that's from Adam Raymer, that's 12 minutes and 46 seconds. And so, so we'll start with Ron, just in the order that they came in. So here's Ron Stroop.
Hey, Tom, Ron, what have you done to the top of your head? I looked at your picture this morning, and there you were. You got two mouths. You got one on the bottom, and you got one on top of your head. You got a row of teeth. I don't know how to take that. You're going to have to wear a hat from now on, Tom. People are going to think you're going to bite them. Whoa! Hey, it was nice of you to put my picture on top of your head, but, you know, the smile, that's a little too much for me. I mean, I don't have that many teeth. Nobody does. Come on, Tom. Come on. Tell me it's not real. Real or not, I like it. That makes you Tom. And I tell you what, I can't wait to see it in person. I can't wait till we go out to eat. Oh, that is going to be fun. You got a face in the front, a face in the back, and now one on top. What will you think of next? I love it. See you later, Tom.
All right. Well, thank you, Ron. well, what do you know? That's just, I guess that's me being me. I don't know, but... anyway, then I got this other comment from Adam Raymer, and this goes on for about 12 minutes and 46 seconds, and as I say, I haven't listened to this at all, so I may end up doing stop-start on this, because I don't know really what it's about, but so we'll find out together. So here's Adam Raymer.
Hi, Tom. This is Adam from Central California, the San Joaquin Valley. Hopefully you can hear me okay. I'm driving down the road and I'm recording a voice memo for you on my iPhone. And I just wanted to jump in on the conversation that kind of started last week, I guess, with Irk. And then you had a few more callers or voicemailers, sound filers this week. Irk was talking about the train, and as you know, I am a bus driver here in California, and also was a union representative. I was the secretary treasurer of our union. That it's a union job, and he also talked about the benefits and drawbacks of being a union member, and I want to address that as well. But kind of to join in, first of all, on the conversation about scheduling and all that. The way that it works here is there's several different, depending on, it's all done on seniority, the way that you pick your shift or your run or your, however you want to say it. And there's a couple of different areas that you can go into. There is no light rail here. It's all buses. So you can either have a regular run, which has a structured hours of, you know, what time you're going to start and what time you're going to get off. And then you have your what's called the extra board, which is what Irk was talking about. And it was kind of interesting the way he was describing it as far as the standby people and that type of thing. And that is very similar to what we have here. So I guess, you know, obviously it shouldn't be that different. Transit is transit, and it's going to be the same no matter where you go, I guess. Just maybe different terminology. But at any rate, let's talk briefly about the standby or the extra board. The extra board is basically you just sign up for your days off, what days off that you want, and depending on your seniority, you may not have a choice. And believe it or not, there's two popular days off. If you want to make money, the best days off are Thursday and Friday. So often you have these high seniority guys that are taking Thursday and Friday off. And the reason they do that is to work on their day off to make overtime. And at least in the United States, it's a big problem and pretty much everywhere of absenteeism in transit. It's a problem for management. And not to go off on a huge tangent, but you have to realize, and you realize that too, to an extent, though you do have a little bit more flexibility at times to be able to stop and do whatever you want to do at times. I mean, to some degree, not always, but, you know, if your truck happens to be where you're going, then, you know, what I'm talking about is a bus driver, if you have a doctor's appointment or if you have something with your, you know, child, that you can't just go to your boss and say, hey, I'm going to take off. Is it okay if I take off a couple hours earlier, if I come in a couple hours late? And, you know, your work will still be there. And, you know, it's not like that with in transit. There, basically, your ass, an ass, not necessarily your ass, but an ass has to be in the seat for that bus to move or that train to move. And so it's very inflexible in terms of, you know, getting time off. So you have people that are just, you know, calling in sick. Not that they won't let you off, but, you know, things come up in life where, you know, you have something to do at the last minute, and management tends to be inflexible when they do get those last minute type of things. For instance, you know, when we schedule our vacations, it's done literally a year, well, in some cases a year in advance. During the months of November and December is when you schedule your vacation for the next calendar year. So, I mean, and technically you could take your vacation in January, but, you know, February, but not a real popular time. But you could, you know, split up your vacation throughout the year, but you have to sign up for that in November and December of the prior year. So, you know, you really have to plan ahead if you're going to do something. You can't just say, well, next month I am going to take a week's vacation. It doesn't really work out that way. But anyway, back to my story. As far as our extra board, so you sign up for your days off, those people are a portion of those, and it's all done in a very complicated formula as far as how the work is put out and that type of thing. But a portion of those people, there's about 70-some-odd people that are on the extra board with a total driver force of, I think there's about 275 or 300 drivers here at this location that I work at. And so a portion of those will be on standby, basically to protect the system. If someone is late for work or if somebody calls in sick or whatever, they would take over their run for the day. And then also if you have a scheduled vacation, people bid for those and would take over those temporarily while you're on vacation. So that's the extra board. The other side of it is a regular driver, which is what I do. And I have enough seniority where I work basically banker's hours for the most part. I start work at 8:07 a.m. and I get off at 3:40 p.m. We are guaranteed 8 hours, so I only work 8 hours and some odd minutes, 32 minutes, I think. Or, I'm sorry, 7 hours and 32 minutes. I still get paid for 8 hours, though on Mondays and Tuesdays I pick up a little extra work, about 3 hours each day on Mondays and Tuesdays in the evening for a short piece of work that you know, is a regular fill, basically, another run for a few hours at night until about 10 o'clock. Our buses run from basically 5 a.m. to midnight, so there's about a 5-hour window when there's no service on the street. And that's the way that goes. So there's people working with all kinds of different days off. Obviously, the vast majority of the service is the peak hours in the morning and the afternoon, Monday through Friday, with a reduced schedule on the weekends. So that's kind of how it works here. As far as driving hours, we're allowed to drive 10 hours. End of story. As Irk was talking about, you know, there's guys that I forget what he said, what the maximum driving time was. I think it was 8.5, but that sounds like possibly, and maybe he could weigh in on that it was a union negotiated cap of 8.5 hours working. Maybe not. Maybe it's a state or federal law in Australia of hours of service. But we're allowed to drive for 10 hours, period, with no more than 14 hours on duty, which I guess is similar to trucking, except for you can drive an hour longer than I can. As far as logbook, because I do work over 10 hours on 2 days out of my week, I'm required to fill out a logbook for those 2 days. I don't know, it's just a crazy thing, I guess, California law, or maybe it's Department of Transportation federally that requires that, I'm not sure. But at any rate, so that's that as far as my job. In terms of union membership, I think there definitely was a time in America early in the 20th century and maybe into the 19th century where unions were definitely needed, and I think they are today as well, especially, and I will tell you why, but especially in larger workplaces where you have multiple hundreds or thousands of employees doing the same job or similar jobs. Basically, in terms of fairness, equality, and I'm a Republican, I'm not ashamed to say that, and I was a part of the union. Now, definitely, California is a very liberal state in terms of overall representation, and as you mentioned on your last podcast, where I live and in other areas of the state are very conservative. Even the Democrats in my area were what they call blue dog Democrats, which are basically very to the center or to the right leaning Democrats. So you have Jim Costa in Congress and a number of other people. Jim Costa is a Republican, but he's tends to be fairly to the center on a lot of issues. But union membership, yeah, the salaries and benefits tend to be higher in those jobs. And, I mean, that is a good positive thing. You know, certainly if the company or the entity, I work for a government entity, if they had their way, obviously they would not pay me what I get paid. And I get paid for what I do. I get paid extremely well. I'm not complaining about my wage or my benefit at all. You know, I make nearly $25 an hour to drive a bus. With no college education, I have some, but, you know, basically there are people that I work with that have a high school diploma and are making $25 an hour, which really in this area is difficult to do with no college education. So, at any rate, but I think unions have a place, and what I was saying is in terms of large employers especially is that it gives a kind of a focal point for grievances, or not, when I say grievances, I don't mean the written necessarily, although those do come down, but especially our local union here tries to work things out in an equal manner with management, you know, coming to the best solution for employees and for the company without filing grievances. I mean, sometimes those are necessary, and we do file grievances, but in terms of settling disputes or settling things or representing the employees of, you know, what are the employees saying? What do the employees want? What is going to work out best for the system, for the employees, for the customers? And that's where unions really come into play a lot of times. And on the quality issues, there will be, you know, we obviously have a labor agreement in place that spells out how the work is to be, you know, done and how the pay is to be done, and sometimes the company or the city doesn't follow that, and then that's when we have to get involved and make, you know, make sure things are done right. So anyway, I better wrap this thing up. I think I've talked long enough. Thank you very much. Maybe we'll get into this conversation, and if there's any questions, I'll be glad to follow up. So thanks, Tom. Thanks for your podcast, and talk to you later.
Okay, well, thank you, Adam. That was very interesting. You know, I've never obviously driven a bus or, you know, and certainly not driven a train. But, you know, so it was kind of interesting. You know, I've never really thought about, you know, it. You know, like you say, you know, you're driving a bus, like a city bus, and so you can't just stop and eat, or, you know, you stop and do this or stop and do that, you know, because you're on a schedule. And you've obviously got people, you're hauling people around. So I hadn't really thought of that. And then, you know, that's, the, you know, the scheduling the vacations a year ahead of time, you know, that's something that, you know, I've personally never had to deal with. You know, usually, you know, especially driving a truck over the road, you know, I just tell them when I want my vacation, and usually they might grumble a little bit, or the fleet managers. I had this one fleet manager with Schaefer, and she's since retired, but she would you know, try to, or, you know, she'd try to throw obstacles up, or, you know, or almost like disclaimers, you know, and basically I was going to do what I was going to do, and, you know, she would, if I, you know, the times I had to kind of tell her what I was going to do, then she, you know, she, you know, I was able to do it, but she would try sometimes to, you know, kind of have her position, and obviously her position was negotiable, but she was trying to get whatever she could, you know, kind of put it that way. But most of the time, you know, driving a truck over the road, you're basically the driver just within reason, the driver just tells them, this is what, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And so I really hadn't thought of it, you know, or like, you know, in terms of driving a bus or driving a train. Obviously, that's, especially if you're hauling people around for transit purposes, then obviously that's on a very strict schedule. And my schedule, you'll hear me grumble about a tight schedule, but on the other hand, it's not nearly that tight usually. Now today, if everything, like with me today, if everything had gone according to plan, and I didn't have any, you know, and that reefer unit would have started right up, I would have been out of there probably by, oh, I'd guess probably maybe 11 o'clock. I would have been out of there, and I would have been headed towards Kansas City, and I would have gotten there several hours ahead of time, and, you know, I would have been there well before the 10 p.m. appointment. But as it worked out, obviously I wasn't, you know, so, but even so, loading and unloading in the same day, in this case, I would if everything had worked out fine, I would have still had plenty of time. I could have stopped and, you know, if I wanted to stop a couple of times to get something to eat or whatever on the way up there, it would have been a fairly easy thing for me to do. So, you know, and then it is interesting, you know, the labor unions, they do serve a purpose. But then on the, you know, it sounds like, you know, of course I think the key is you're in a conservative area. I think that's got something to do with it because everybody is, it sounds like everybody is trying to be as reasonable as possible and, you know, everybody understands that your whole existence is to sort of serve your customers, serve the people that are riding the bus, and, you know, everybody kind of understands that. But, you know, I think it's possible that, let's take the auto industry, like General Motors, for example. They, obviously, if you've watched, you know, and there's been a lot of people talk about it, but they obviously, General Motors obviously agreed to some unreasonable demands, you know, like paying all the, you know, all of these retirees health care, you know, and even though they're not producing anything anymore. And, you know, now I think probably the news has kind of gone away on that, but I would imagine a lot of those people, I'm just guessing that the government or that, you know, has enabled General Motors to, you know, they might have paid them for a while, but probably it's either going to get transferred to the government, the responsibility for all the health care for all those retired workers, because I can't see, because it was the way it was eating General Motors alive, basically, you know, because they had, what was it, approximately 100,000 employees, and they were paying health care for over 1 million people. I think it was over 1 million. And that math, they couldn't sell enough cars in order to make that to work, you know, to make that work. So, you know, if I think the key is if everybody's reasonable. You know, the employer's reasonable and the employees are reasonable. Everybody is kind of agrees that we're here to serve whatever purpose that we're serving, you know, serving, you know, whoever our customer is. That's one thing. But people can, as in the case of General Motors, I think people can kind of lose sight of that at times, and then the organization ends up kind of morphing into something that it was than it shouldn't. And it's not because it necessarily unions are bad or unions are good. It's just an organization. Any given organization is neither bad or good. It's simply an organization. Where the problem comes in is when too many of the people that are involved in that organization start to become unreasonable. And that can be, you know, the company itself can start to become unreasonable, or the employees, quite frankly, can become unreasonable too. And so it's an interesting thing that can happen. But I don't know. I could see, you know, as I say, you know, I think, you know, I can see the need for labor unions. And, you know, particularly in larger organizations. But, you know, at the same time, you would hope that everybody would remain reasonable and everybody kind of, you know, the company and the employees themselves, you would hope that everyone would have the same goal of serving the customer in mind. And then you could have procedures, you know, because, you know, you always end up with a pecking order. You know, in any company, any kind of organization, you're always going to end up with some sort of a pecking order, and that pecking order can kind of become political. And then once that happens, then you can have some problems. And if you've got rules in place that everyone's agreed on, and that you follow, try to be reasonable about it, then that's quite a good thing. And then that kind of mitigates as much as possible office politics, workplace politics from influencing what happens. And making things as reasonable as possible, and so that, you know, kind of minimizes any oversights or injustices that might otherwise occur. So, but that's interesting. It's interesting to hear about the bus business, basically. You know, city bus business. That's kind of interesting. You know, because I've never driven any kind of a bus. Let alone something like that, you know, like a city bus, because you see those things sometimes, but never been around that. So that's kind of interesting to hear about that, and I can see where there's probably the reason you have to fill the logbook out. It might be something to do with California, because California is kind of weird. They've got their own little weird additions to the Department of Transportation rules and how they interpret them. But there's probably the federal DOT rules are probably causing that to kick in. And, making you feel it, because there, if you look at the handbook, you know, with all those DOT rules, they do, some of those rules do talk about certain situations where a local driver might have to fill out a logbook. Fill out a logbook sheet. And so it sounds like you're kind of falling sometimes into that category. So, now of course with me, I have to fill one out every day, for every day, regardless of whether I'm, even like if I'm off work, I have to fill out a log sheet. Well, for example, I did that this morning. I had to fill out a log sheet for the 5 days that I was off work. I had to fill out a log sheet just saying that, you know, drawing the line all the way across saying I was off duty. And, you know, so, but that's kind of mindless, but that's, you know, they want it. And that's the rules. So anyway, thank you, Adam, for that. You know, I really love when people send voice comments because it really kind of gets a conversation going, and it really makes this much more interactive than me just getting on here and talking all the time. You know, I love to kind of mix it up with, you know, and hear some other people talking and kind of respond to them. And so I, you know, anyone wants to send a voice comment about anything at all, feel free. I'll play it. So better be getting this cut off and get it uploaded and published and see if I can get headed towards bed and maybe go to sleep. By the way, something weird happened yesterday while I was still home. Found out that I guess it was only yesterday, and I don't know if it was just in Northwest Arkansas, but the Alltel air card, because my mom's got one now, got an Alltel air card, and she couldn't get it to work. And so she, you know, and I never did try my, well, I did try it later, but I couldn't get it to work. And so my middle brother's also got an Alltel air card. And so she called him, and he had called Alltel. And come to find out, I guess, you know, for some time now, there's been a merger in place between, you know, Verizon bought Alltel. And I guess now they're kind of getting around to merging the technology side of it. And they've done something, and again, I don't know if it was nationwide or if it was just local, but it was causing the Alltel air cards to not connect. And so I tried mine last night after my mom told me that she talked to my younger brother, and he said that, you know, told her about the problem. So I tried mine, and it would not connect, but it connected here today. You know, of course, I'm at Lamar, Missouri. And it connected just fine, so apparently they probably, I'm assuming, they fairly quickly resolved whatever the issue was. Now, the only other thing, what I'm looking for to happen, Alltel was like the only remaining company that was offering unlimited data transfer on their air cards. And they were selling it as unlimited. And so I'm expecting that that's going to change. They'll limit it to the 5 gigabytes, and which includes both upload and download. And so I'll have to start paying attention to that. Because what I've been doing, I've just been using this Alltel air card as much as I possibly could, because it's unlimited and it's giving me pretty decent 3G service in most areas, and then using the Sprint as sort of a backup. And so now, you know, once they tell me it's not unlimited anymore, and I'm really looking for them to just say, hey, we're going to limit it to 5 gigabytes like everybody else is, because it's basically, I'm a Verizon customer now, then I'm going to have to start paying attention to it. But let's just hope that you know, that the companies are working on the WiMAX, you know, so-called 4G or WiMAX. You know, there may be some different technologies there. They are working on that, and so hopefully, you know, that we're going through the same old cycle again, where it's going to take them a long time to roll the WiMAX out in certain cities, and then eventually roll it out nationwide. That's obviously going to take quite some time, and so here we go again. But, you know, so But in the meantime, I'm going to probably, you know, once they notify me, you know, because I'm going to continue to use it, the Altel Air Card. Once they notify me that that I'm limited on the bandwidth transfer each month, then I'm going to have to really kind of start paying attention to it. So, and hopefully they'll give me some sort of a tool, software tool that will help me, or, you know, maybe a way of logging onto their website to monitor that. Now, Sprint never has gotten it right. It's been a while since I checked my usage through, you know, the Sprint Air Card, but every time I've ever checked that on their website, it way under, you know, it was way under reporting how much I knew that I'd used. Now, on my phone, my Sprint phone, I use that as my podcast aggregator, and I use the heck out of that, and that is unlimited. It's part of the Simply Everything plan, and it really is unlimited, and they've never said a word about it, and I don't know how much bandwidth I'm actually using, but sometimes it's quite a bit, because it downloads all of the podcasts I'm subscribed to, including one video podcast. It downloads all of it, and they never say a word. And so, you know, I'm taking advantage of it. Anyhow, hope everyone is having a great week. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.